Upheaval, breaking point, chapter 6, where faith lies. Fangbreaker Fortress had always been a renowned place throughout the Barrier Lands, standing proudly on a lone hill far to the north of the Heartland. It was the Northern Equestrian Legion's primary bastion against the armies of Wolvengard. Its walls had witnessed countless waves of vicious Wolven soldiers try and fail to take over the Barrier Lands, grand showdowns between King Fenrir and Prince Tirado, and the rise and fall of many pony heroes. To be stationed at Fangbreaker was an honor among the ponies of the Barrier Lands. It was to stand at very tip of Equestria's north, to stare down the Wolven King's gaping maw, and to fight side by side with the most stalwart of ponies. There were stories of high-ranking officers willing to be demoted if a low-ranking position within the fortress opened. The fortress had an austere design, the hallmark of Prince Tirado's aesthetics. Regardless, its defenders looked upon it with a reverted sense of awe. Everything about it was proud and defiant against the forces that continually assaulted it, from its compound walls to its multiple barracks and the courtyards capable of holding a large army. Not every area in Fangbreaker Fortress was glorious and awe-inspiring, however. Within the fort's inner courtyards was a row of buildings marked by their multiple, perpetually smoking chimneys. They were the fort's great kitchens, the destination of huge quantities of supplies from the fertile south. Most of the garrison often avoided the kitchens. It was sweltingly hot, the cooks were violently short-tempered, and being splashed by boiling water or oil was an ever-present danger. Culinary experiments also occurred there on a regular basis. The fort's cooks were constantly trying to create the perfect rations for long-range patrols. Long excursions to the far north required food that was easily portable, long-lasting, filling, and nutritious. The smells from the many failed results sometimes knocked unsuspecting passers-by unconscious. Despite the risks, Vanguard Clash made sure to visit the kitchens at least once a week. The morning after he had encountered the Chosen, he had decided that it was time for another. He had arrived while every pony was finishing clearing up breakfast preparations. After a quick look at him, one of the cooks called out, "Sharpfangs, your son's here to see you." Vanguard saw his father look up. Though surrounded by so much bustling activity, Sharpfangs stood out. His name alone puzzled any pony who had never encountered him before. His appearance, however, often left ponies staring in bewilderment. He had the same gray coat as Vanguard, but his had noticeably longer hairs, which feathered by his hoofs. His mane was a wild, feral mess of wiry black hair, and his eyes were bright red and slit. The most peculiar thing about him was his namesake, a pair of fangs protruding slightly from his upper lip.
"Vanguard!" Sharpfangs exclaimed. "About time you showed up. How did the new concentrate work for you?"
"It tastes like cardboard,"
Vanguard smiled.
"A major improvement," he answered.
"Excellent," Sharpfangs said. "Looks like Commissionary managed to get better supplies this month. Are you here for more, then? Don't tell me the concentrate's so good that you've been snacking on it."
"Just seeing how you are," Vanguard replied. "I heard that Mother's long-range patrol has flown back in. Have you seen her yet?"
Sharpfangs snorted and wiped his hoofs on his apron.
"The big shot flight captain has too many things to do to be bothered by an old dog." "So you haven't seen her," Vanguard sighed. "This constant self-deprecation isn't going to help either of you, father."
"Your mother and I will do just fine, boy," Sharpfangs said with a worried smile.
"We're not going to fall apart over an argument, no matter how much equipment ends up broken afterwards."
Looking around Vanguard, he smiled.
"Besides, you have your own relationships to deal with."
Vengard looked behind himself and saw Pyavella from a distance. She was walking towards him, her customary frown already in place. He guessed that their squad was up for another mission.
"I'm doing fine with my relationships," he answered. "Which means you haven't proposed to her, right?"
Sharpfang's smile split into a toothy grin.
"Move quickly, boy. You may not have noticed, but neither of us are studs. If you pass up a mare like that, you may as well cut them off and use them as woven bait."
"I think I'll need them a while longer, father," Vengard replied. "It looks like I'm needed. I'll see you soon."
Vengard left the kitchens and went over to meet up with Pyavella. She saluted as he approached, a sure sign that they had work ahead of them.
"Captain, Commander Dreadstep has sent for our squad," she said. "Blademane should be on his way with Scarlet Rabbit as we speak."
"Understood," Vengard replied. "Let's go then."
A few minutes later, Vengard stood inside Dreadstep's office with the rest of his squad. As one, they saluted their commander. Dreadstep had been in charge of Fangbreaker since before they were foals. He had never let the defense wrong. He weathered his age well. Despite the lines around his face and his salt-and-pepper mustache, he moved with ease, his eyes still bright with vigor.
"Good that you've arrived, Captain Vengard Clash," Dreadstep said. "Yesterday was a hectic time, with our prince's sudden arrival and the matter with the Chosen. You've yet to be properly congratulated for successfully slaying Coldhoof and bringing back the information he stole."
"Thank you, Commander," Vengard replied. "All in service to the Legion."
"Good," Dreadstep said. "I have a new task for your squad. Our long-range patrol just reported that the Wolven are transporting some kind of large device towards our border. We need a closer look as to what it is, and your squad will be our eyes. Sabotage it if you can. Here's its last location."
Dreadstep gave Vengard a rolled-up map.
"Scarlet, I have a different task for you. We need an important message sent to Bastion City. Our last messenger ran afoul a squad of Wolven bolters. You are our fastest flyer, and this message can't wait."
"Understood, sir,"
Scarlet Rabbit replied. Dreadstep looked to the others as he spoke.
"Take care. This will bring you to our borders. The Wolven army is on the march over there."
"You mean to say that they are transporting this device ahead of their army?" Vengard asked.
"Indeed. It's a curious object, small enough to be carried around by Wolven, but it can't be good news."
"We are going then."
Vengard saluted and left, his squad right behind him. It was close to evening when Fangbreaker Fortress faded completely into the distance for Vengard's squad. They had been walking silently across the plain for hours now. To Vengard, having Pyavella walking behind him felt like he was a second away from an explosion. She was frowning, but that was normal, as was the way she moved. Still, something about her today kept him on edge. He checked the map that he had been provided with. They had made good time so far, but the Wolven detachment's last location was still a good distance away, and it was likely that it had moved on.
"They should be sending a detachment of Pegasi for this," Pyra groused. "A storm of bolts and firebombs would be faster and more efficient than three quarters of a special operations squad."
"You think Dreadstep doesn't know that?" Vengard asked. "We don't have a detachment of Pegasi to spare. Last week's disastrous ambush certainly didn't help."
"Reinforcements should be here already if they weren't skirting around the Heartland," Pyavella snorted.
To Vengard, it sounded like steam escaping a boiling kettle. Vengard looked southwest. The Western Equestrian Legion had always provided Pegasus reinforcements to both the north and the south. Urson's lingers were dangerous, did not devastate Pegasi flights as well as Wolven bolters or Ophidite snipers. Earth Pony infantry on the other hoof.
"There's no point in complaining about something that's been going on for 1,000 years, he said.
"And that's how it's going to keep happening for another 1,000 years.
Vengard didn't bother replying. Pyre Veller had railed against the Heartland for as long as he had known her, and would likely continue forever.
"We'll set up camp here. You know the drill, Vice-Captain," he said.
Despite the difficulty in gathering material for a fire, camp was ready in a matter of minutes. For once, Vanguard wished that they had taken longer to prepare. The silence between him and Pyre Veller was more exhausting than their trek. Blademane had gone off to gather more kindling, leaving the two of them alone.
"If you have something to get off your chest, Pyre, now's the time," he finally said.
He sat near the fire with Pyre Veller opposite him.
"I was about to say the same thing, Vanguard," Pyre replied. "I've been speaking my mind often enough. I want to hear what you have to say this time."
"What are you talking about?"
"You know the injustice that the Heartland stands for. Even now it's affecting us. Reinforcements taking too long to arrive. An untapped population of Pegasi, unicorns and earth ponies that could aid the war not being used while we have our backs driven against the wall, and all the unnecessary secrecy."
"The Legion has overcome crises like this before, Pyre," Vanguard replied. "We stand strong on our own."
"That we stand on our own is a problem."
Pyre leaned closer, the firelight reflecting brightly in her eyes.
"You're right, Vanguard. The Legion has overcome crises like these before. But it has always been at a cost, and the ones paying have always been us. It's time to put an end to how things are going. Even you believe this."
"I believe in no such thing," Vanguard snapped.
"You don't think that the truth should be brought to the Heartland?"
Pyre asked.
"I don't care a mule's bit for the Heartland. It may as well be a mess. I fight for my home, the Barrier Lands. It's about time you did the same, Pyre Veller."
Pyre's scowl deepened, and the fire crackled, seemingly feeding off her intensity.
"Then why did you give your legionnaire emblem to that Chosen? Isn't it so that she would remember the truth once she reached the Heartland? Wasn't it so that it would be spread from her to the rest of the Chosen?"
Vanguard stared silently at Pyre Veller, not daring to breathe, lest she take that as some kind of admission of guilt. How she managed to find out, he didn't know.
"Is that what this is about?" he finally asked.
"You've put your faith in that Chosen. Do you really think she's going to spread the truth once she's home?"
She shook her head and stomped a hoof.
"No, she's going to repay your trust by sending you off to die for treason."
"I don't expect Twilight Sparkle to spread the truth or some such thing," Vanguard replied. "That's not why I gave her my legionnaire emblem. However, I do trust her enough to not try to kill me."
"Then why did you give her the emblem?"
Vanguard hesitated. That was a question that he had asked himself over and over last night. Why indeed?
"She wanted to know about this place. I just wanted to give her a chance to keep that knowledge, even if she just keeps it to herself."
"You're going to die, Vanguard Clash, and now you're telling me you're going to die over triviality?"
"Call it what you will. It's done."
"It doesn't have to be,"
Pyre Veller said. Vanguard eyed her carefully. She had never calmed down so quickly.
"I can still set things right and save you from this temporary insanity."
"What are you talking about, Pyre?"
Vanguard asked, his voice low.
"What have you planned?"
"I've been thinking about what Coldhoof had done. You're right. He was mad and needed to be put down, but that doesn't mean that there is nothing to be salvaged from what he was trying to do."
"Get to the point," Vanguard growled.
Pyre's most fiery tirades had never made him feel threatened like this one did.
"We're expecting a major attack on Fangbreaker soon," Pyre Veller said.
"Coldhoof was trying to give the Wolven the advantage. Imagine what would happen if the fortress does fall."
"Hundreds of ponies will die," Vanguard answered. "Wolvengard will gain a foothold in the Barrier Lands. They'll be able to launch raids all throughout the north while the Legion scrambles to recover. It will be a disaster for all of Equestria."
"True,"
Pyre Veller continued.
The loss will be staggering. Reinforcements from the Western and Southern Legions will never arrive on time. Unless... Her eyes brightened, and it was no longer just the firelight reflecting off them. Unless Prince Tirado demands that Princess Celestia allow his soldiers to travel directly through the Heartland. She'll have to, or she's going to have the Wolven howling at her very doorstep. Even her barrier won't stave them off forever. The Chosen will finally see the ponies that have been defending them for so long. That may not even be enough. Orsinium and Ophidus won't miss the opportunity to launch their own attacks. The Heartland's resources will have to be used along with the Barrier Lands. Drafts would be initiated. Legionnaires and Chosen will have to fight side by side to recover.
Vengard stared silently at Pyavella for a while. He couldn't find the voice to speak. He didn't even recognize who he was talking to. This unicorn talked of a disaster as if it were the best thing that could happen to Equestria.
"Hundreds will die," he answered, his voice rising. "And why are you even contemplating this? Such a thing will never happen."
"But it can," Pyavella said. "You didn't look at Kultuf's bag before giving it to me, did you?"
"No, I trusted you to check it." Vengard looked around briefly.
Night had completely fallen upon them. He felt alone in the middle of a cold plain next to a deranged stranger.
There was more inside than just the layout of Fangbreaker Fortress. Kulthuf has been in contact with Wolvengard's High Command itself. He promised them the plans, and he's not alone. There are other ponies in Fangbreaker who are willing to give it to Wolvengard.
"You know this and you did nothing,"
Vengard snarled. He got up to his hoofs, glaring at Pyavella.
"I didn't want them discovered,"
Pyavella answered, her voice matching Vengard's.
"This has to happen, Vengard. This is the only way we can force Prince Tirado to act."
"Have you already forgotten the hundreds that will die?"
"Hundreds of thousands have already died. Died in obscurity while the Chosen continue to enjoy their peace and harmony. This is the final push, Vengard. The final sacrifice that the Legion must make so that all of Equestria can join the fray."
"You..."
Vengard paused. The words escaped him when he tried to talk.
"You've been planning this for a long time, even before Kulthuf."
"I've given it a lot of thought."
Pyavella glanced towards Fangbreaker Fortress direction. "I only discovered that a conspiracy was already in place last night. We can take over where Kulthuf failed. The attack is still coming. The sabotage can still take place."
"What do you mean, we?"
Vengard asked, his voice low and dangerous.
"You're suggesting treason, Pyre, and you want me to take part in it?"
"You've already committed treason." Pyre stomped a foreleg. "Whatever you believe the reason was for what you did for that Chosen, I believe that even you want the truth to be known."
"You believed wrongly. This conspiracy ends here, Pyre Veller."
Vengard began to reach for his two-bladed sword.
"Think this through carefully, Vengard. We have the chance to change a millennium of injustice."
"And where will you be when this change takes place?"
"I will stay in Fangbreaker and fight to the death. No running away from what I started."
"How very noble," Vengard growled. "That's not enough."
"Nothing will ever be enough for the sacrifice that must be made."
"Then you have no right to make it."
"Don't do this, Vengard. I believed in you. I trusted you to see what needs to be done."
"Don't talk to me about trust, traitor."
With both of them on their hoofs, Vengard lunged at Pyavella, scattering the still-burned kindling as he stepped over the fire. The flames licked at his barding, but night steel protected well against heat. Pyre answered by running. He was about to follow when Blademane slammed into his side. His hoofs slid against the rocky ground, but he stayed up. With a grunt, he pushed back.
"What are you doing? Don't you know what she's planning?"
he asked. As always, Blademane didn't answer. Before he could say anything else, Vengard cried out as he felt a horrible, searing pain on his right side. He glanced back. A portion of his barding was smoking.
His coat felt like it was ablaze. Much too far away, he saw the glow of Pyrovella's horn. He broke off from Blademane and ran for it. He needed to survive to warn Fangbreaker. Pyrovella was a good distance away when she saw Vanguard make a break for it. She concentrated on a spell and aimed at the fleeing pony. Vanguard's injury had slowed him down. Despite the darkness, she could see him enough to aim perfectly. The fireball flew unerringly as it always did. It alighted gently on Vanguard's shoulder, then exploded. There was no dying cry. To her surprise, Vanguard staggered out of the blast. His smoking body fell to the ground in a lifeless heap. That he had not burned to nothing surprised her. Did she weaken her spell unconsciously? Still, there was no surviving that blast. All she had done was leave a reminder of what she was forced to do. Blademane came up to her and stared at their fallen captain.
"Should we make sure?" he asked.
"No," Pyrovella said softly. She looked away and walked on. "I can barely even look upon him at a distance."
"Won't the body be discovered?"
"The wolven will be here in a day or two. No pony will know. Let's go. We'll set up camp somewhere else, then report back that we were ambushed and had to flee before we saw the structure." Pyrovella slammed her front hoofs against the ground. A tear escaped her eyes. She wiped it away furiously, leaving a streak of dirt across her face. "You should have just said yes," she hissed softly enough to keep Blademane from hearing. "Just once you should have said it. I..." She heard Blademane's hoofsteps coming closer. She inhaled long and loudly, making sure her eyes were dry when she turned to glance behind her. "I'm sorry, Vanguard," she sought. "I truly am. We'll see each other soon. Take your vengeance then."